Welcome. Today we're looking at a timely paper, an agentic multi-agent architecture for cybersecurity risk management. The core question is simple but urgent. Can an architecture of autonomous, coordinated agents actually meaningfully improve how security teams detect, triage, and contain threats? Attack complexity and volume keep rising. SOC teams are overwhelmed with alerts and manual context gathering, and vendors keep promising automation. So why now for agentic multi-agent systems, and what would success look like?
Concise definition. An agentic multi-agent architecture is a set of purpose-built software agents that act autonomously toward goals, coordinate with each other, and plan sequences of actions. Think of specialized roles. Sensors that gather telemetry, analysts that assess risk, responders that execute containment, and an orchestrator that mediates. The key is goal-directed autonomy plus protocols for communication and shared state, so behaviors emerge from cooperation rather than a single centralized script, like an air traffic control system where planes, radars, and controllers each play roles and negotiate maneuvers.
From the field, the pain is very tangible. SOCs drown in alerts, thousands a day, and analysts spend most of their time stitching context from logs, ticketing systems, and threat intel. That raises mean time to respond dramatically. A phishing campaign can spread laterally in hours while a team spends days confirming scope. Integrating any agentic system means plugging into SIEMs, automating runbook steps, and ensuring every automated action is logged and reversible. Otherwise, you swap one overload problem for an audit nightmare.
Nice. So Jamie, you've framed the architecture, and Mark, you've grounded the operational risk. Briefly, in this episode, we'll unpack the paper's proposed agent roles and coordination mechanisms, and then evaluate whether those claims survive real-world constraints like integration and trust. Ready to dive in?
Ready. I'm particularly interested in how they handle human escalation and safeguards, because that's where theory meets messy operations.
Okay, let's dive into the architecture the paper proposes. Jamie, can you walk us through the core agent types and how agentic behavior is actually defined in this system?
Sure. At a high level, they organize agents into roles: sensors that ingest telemetry and surface signals, analyst agents that aggregate context and score risk, responder agents that execute containment playbooks, and orchestrator agents that mediate coordination, policies, and escalation. Agentic here means each agent has goals, can plan multi-step actions to achieve them, and negotiates with peers rather than following a single monolithic script. So autonomy plus protocol-driven communication.
From an operations standpoint, that sounds reasonable on paper, but we need concrete communication plumbing. Are they assuming a shared state bus, direct messaging, or a hybrid? How do you audit which agent did what?
The paper sketches both options. One common pattern is a message bus for asynchronous events and a shared state layer for authoritative context. Think PubSub for quick signals and a distributed key value store for canonical artifacts like attack graphs. Agents attach metadata and signed action logs to every decision so you can audit provenance. Coordination protocols include leader election for task ownership, consensus for critical state, and lightweight negotiation for parallel tasks.
Quick clarification. When you say negotiation, do you mean agents literally bid on responsibilities, or is it more rule-based?
Both patterns appear. In some workflows, it's rule-based. A responder with local reach handles endpoint quarantine. In others, especially complex investigations, agents exchange proposals and acceptances, like microcontracts. So an analyst can request enrichment, and a sensor agent will commit to a fetch and respond with results.
That negotiation model is elegant but fragile in production. Network latencies, partitions, and noisy telemetry can cause duplicate actions or conflicts. In our systems, we often keep a central policy engine for final authorization on destructive actions, quarantines, network blocks, to avoid accidental outages.
I agree there are trade-offs. The paper suggests a hybrid: allow local responders to act quickly for low-risk containment with automatic rollback hooks, and escalate high-impact actions to a human-in-the-loop or a centralized gate enforced by the orchestrator. That reduces MTTR while limiting blast radius.
Let's walk through a concrete detection-to-response path. Pick a phishing campaign. What does the chain look like with these agents?
Example: a sensor flags a suspicious inbound email with a malicious link. It publishes an event to the bus. An analyst agent pulls the message, enriches by querying URL reputation, mailbox history, and recent lateral login attempts. It computes a composite risk score and proposes containment. A responder agent takes a low-risk action, like blocking the URL at the proxy and quarantining the message, while the orchestrator logs the action, notifies the human SOC lead if the score crosses a threshold, and triggers a broader sweep to hunt for similar indicators across endpoints.
Operationally, you need playbooks implemented as idempotent, reversible steps. If the responder quarantines messages, you must log exact message IDs, notify users, and provide rollback. Also, integrate with SIEM for correlation and with ticketing so analysts can track the incident lifecycle. Otherwise, you create unmanaged side effects.
Agreed. The paper emphasizes structured playbooks and traces for reversibility. They also recommend sandboxed execution of new agent behaviors during training, so you don't let an emergent policy execute live until it's validated.
On validation, how do they propose training and evaluating these agents? What kind of metrics and safety checks?
They propose simulation environments and red team exercises as primary methods. Simulations let you run many scenarios to measure metrics like mean time to detect MTTD, mean time to remediate MTTR, false positive negative rates, percent of incidents fully automated, and overall risk reduction. Red teaming tests adversarial strategies to see if agents can be manipulated. They also push for staged rollouts with canarying and human-in-the-loop thresholds to observe emergent behaviors before broad deployment.
I'll add practical evaluation metrics. Not just MTTR and FPR, but the rate of reversed automated actions, audit completeness, and the number of analyst overrides. Those tell you whether automation is helpful or noisy. And whatever you test in simulation, you must validate on live telemetry because simulated data often misses platform quirks.
That's a good point. Simulators should be seeded with replayed real incidents and synthetic adversarial variations. For emergent behaviors, continuous red team cycles and chaos testing the agent network help surface bad coordination modes.
Let's talk about attack surface. Can these agents be tricked or manipulated by an adversary? What trust mechanisms are necessary?
This is critical. Agents themselves become targets. You need cryptographic identity and signed messages, mutual TLS for agent comms, attestation for code and model provenance, and strict RBAC on what each agent can authorize. You also need anomaly detectors that treat agent outputs as another telemetry source. If an agent suddenly issues unusual commands, that should trip alarms.
Exactly. The paper suggests layered defenses: agent identity, action signing, rate limits, and cross-validation where independent agents corroborate high-risk claims. For example, a quarantine request should be validated by a second analyzer or by a reputation service before execution.
There's also the problem of poisoning. If training data sets or enrichment feeds are compromised, analyst agents can make systematically wrong decisions. Governance over data sources and continuous monitoring for concept drift are mandatory.
And that's where controlled retraining pipelines and validation sets that include adversarial examples help. You can also sandbox new models and force them to pass an adversarial robustness benchmark before they enter production.
Last technical area, scalability and latency. How viable is this architecture at SOC scale with thousands of endpoints and millions of events per day?
Scalability is achievable but costly. You need horizontal scaling for sensors and responders, partitioning of state, and smart routing so agents only receive relevant events. Use async processing for non-critical enrichment and fast path synchronous channels for high priority actions. Instrumentation and observability are non-negotiable. Without them, you can't debug agent interactions.
From a design perspective, favor eventual consistency for broad situational awareness, but enforce strong consistency for action-critical state. Hierarchical orchestration helps. Local clusters handle fast responses, and a higher-level orchestrator manages policy and cross-cluster coordination. That balances latency and correctness.
Great. To wrap up this segment, what's the biggest open research or engineering gap each of you sees?
For research, robust methods to verify emergent multi-agent behavior under adversarial conditions. We need formal tools and benchmarks to reason about safety when agents plan jointly.
From engineering, governance and operational workflows that keep this manageable, automated rollback, clear audit trails, and the human workflows around escalations. Without those, automation becomes liability.
Okay, let's move into implications. If an agentic multi-agent system works as advertised, what are the immediate real-world benefits and which KPIs should teams actually watch? Mark, start us off.
Practically, you should see faster triage and more consistent containment. That means lower MTTD and MTTR. You'll also get richer context assembled automatically, so analysts spend less time stitching logs. Track percent of incidents fully or partially automated, analyst time saved per incident, rate of automated action rollbacks, and audit completeness. On trade-offs, compute and integration costs rise, and you must decide which actions remain human in the loop.
Jamie, what about the limitations and risks we haven't already touched on? Adversarial manipulation, sprawl, privacy.
Those are big. Agents become part of your attack surface. Adversaries can try to poison enrichment feeds, spoof sensor signals, or manipulate negotiation protocols to cause false containment. Sprawl is real. Many small agents plus models increase maintenance and drift risk. Privacy and regulatory constraints limit what telemetry you can centralize. Research gaps include robust verification of coordinated behaviors under adversarial pressure and reliable benchmarks for multi-agent security tasks.
From operations, governance is the linchpin. You need sandboxed escalation policies, signed action logs, automatic rollback, and clear human escalation triggers. Decide early whether you prefer centralized authorization for destructive actions or a federated model with strict limits on local autonomy. Start with canary rollouts and only expand automation where rollback is trivial and metrics look good.
Jamie, how should teams evaluate these systems before wide deployment?
Use layered evaluation, high-fidelity simulations seeded with replayed incidents, adversarial red team campaigns, and chaos testing on agent networks. Metrics must go beyond MTTR, include false trigger cost, percentage of analyst overrides, reversed actions, and measures of coordination failure. Also publish benchmarks so different approaches can be compared reproducibly.
Let's be concrete. What's the recommended roadmap for a security team or vendor wanting to prototype this responsibly?
Prototype in a closed simulated environment first, seeded with real telemetry. Define explicit escalation and rollback policies, integrate with SIEM and ticketing from day one, and require signed auditable action logs. Move to stage live canaries with human-in-the-loop gates for high-impact actions and prioritize idempotent, reversible playbooks.
And from research, pair the prototype with ongoing red team cycles and adversarial training, build formal checks for coordination logic, and invest in drift detection and controlled retraining pipelines. Also, collaborate with regulators and standard bodies to shape governance requirements early.
Okay, three quick takeaways before the final question. One, the potential is real. Faster triage and contextualized automation can materially reduce risk. Two, the main hurdles are adversarial robustness, governance, and operational overhead. Three, staged rollouts with strong audit and rollback are non-negotiable. Now the provocative question. Who is ultimately accountable when autonomous agents take action that causes collateral damage? The operators, the vendor, or the designers?
Short answer, shared accountability. Operators must maintain governance and runbooks. Vendors must provide safe defaults, auditability, and clear failure modes. Designers must document assumptions and limits. Contracts and regulatory rules need to make those responsibilities explicit.
Technically, accountability requires traceable decisions, signed action logs, interpretable decision points, and reproducible alerts. If a model's behavior is a black box, you can't assign or adjudicate responsibility effectively. So design for auditability from the start.
To finish, a quick reminder, the podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It with AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.